This is Alive with Joseph.
You ready for what the Lord will do? Please. Let's get into scriptures as we thank you. As we look at where we left it off yesterday. But let me read our key scripture, which is Matthew chapter 13 from verse 1 to 9. I read. It says, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of the earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good grounds and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Whoever has ears, let him hear. Amen. So we establish that Jesus, you know, was giving us a parable of a sower who went out to sow. While the sower was busy sowing, the bag of seeds in his hands fell on four dimensions of soil. Number one, by the wayside. Number two, stony ground. Number three, among thorns. And number four, on good ground. Even the same, it is the same farmer, the same seed. And all the seed has the same capacity, capability, and ability. But by the time the seeds hit the ground, their results were completely different. Their results were completely different. All the seeds in the hands of the farmer had the same ability, the same capacity, the same capability. But by the time they hit the ground, some of them, by the virtue of the soil which they entered into, they were rendered useless. Some, the birds came and ate them up. Some fell into stony ground where it had no more nutrient. And because of the shallowness of the soil, the sun came and destroyed it. And some others fell among thorns, and the thorns choked the life out of the seed. And some fell on good grounds. Even the ones that fell on good grounds, we were made to understand that their results also were not the same. Some came out with 100-fold, some came out with 60-fold, and others came out with 30-fold. Hallelujah. And we also established that every time God talks about his seed in scriptures, he is referring to humans. He is referring to a destiny. In the book of Genesis, the Bible called Jesus the seed of the woman. So when we talk about seeds in the Bible, it is often a metaphor for humans and also for destiny. And God said to Abraham in Genesis 15 that his seed shall be strangers in a foreign land, and after 400 years, he will come and deliver them from that slavery and also punish their oppressor. So in the context of our text, we establish that we are going to use the seed as a metaphor for you and I, and the sower as a metaphor for the Almighty God. And also we establish that many have been born into soils, or they are seeds that fell into soils that have diminished their chances on becoming who God has called them to be. And if you do not correct the error, you know, you may end up dying without ever coming into full manifestation of everything that Jesus has paid for. Now, so the teachings are available on all our podcasts, so you can just go there and pick it up. So that, because of time, let me move quickly to where we left it off yesterday. Now, we establish that you carry a great seed, or you are a great seed, and you're not just a great seed, you are a great seed that ought to bring forth 100-fold return. You're not to bring forth 60-fold, you're not to bring forth 30-fold. By the virtue of what Jesus has done, by the virtue of the finished work of Jesus on the cross, you are to bring forth 100-fold. And I pray for you today, you will bring forth 100-fold in the name of Jesus. I declare you will not settle for less in the name of Jesus. I say you will not settle for less in the name of Jesus. Now, this is the reality of life. Many great seeds have fallen on thorny grounds. Many great seeds have fallen among thorns. Many great seeds have fallen on stony grounds. Many great seeds have fallen by the wayside. A soil becomes thorny when a strange things are involved in the life of that person. Now we're going to look at a couple of things that makes a soil thorny. And one of it is when there are strange covenants, when there are strange curses, when there are strange ancestral agreements and vows, when hedges are broken, when invitations are made to foul devils, when knees are bowed to strange altars, that is an indication that a soil is thorny. That is an indication that a soil is thorny. That is what makes the soil thorny. When they know there are strange covenants, when there are curses, ancestral agreements and vows, hedges are broken, invitations are made willingly to foul devils, knees are bowed to strange altars, knees are bowed to strange altars. All of these are what makes a soil thorny. Now, in the book of Joshua chapter 9, Joshua entered into a covenant with a people called the Gibeonites. In the book of 2 Samuel chapter 21, when David came into ascended, on the throne, the Bible recorded that there was famine in that land. Actually, the Bible puts it this way. There was a famine. 2 Samuel 21 verse 1. There was famine in the days of David. 3 years, year after year, year after year, year after year. The first year it happened, I believe David thought, well, maybe it's just a natural occurrence. Well, it's a natural thing. Let's just see it through. The second year it happened. By the third year, David decided to inquire of the Lord. There are things that happens repeatedly you should not keep quiet about. You should inquire of the Lord. You notice every time, after certain number of months or after certain season, certain things happen. You don't just see it as, well, life happened. Yes, I've taught you that there are sometimes life happens, but there are sometimes it is actually not life happening. It is the soil, the thorny soil that is speaking. So the Bible recorded that David inquired of the Lord and the Lord answered him. So it's more like God has been saying to David, I've been waiting for you to come and ask me what the problem was. You've kept quiet. You've kept quiet. I've been waiting for you to come and ask me what the problem was. And the Lord answered, it is for Saul, for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites. So David said to God, what do I do? And God said to him, go to the Gibeonites. They will tell you what to do. And when he approached the Gibeonites, they had their records intact and they gave him their requirements. When he approached the Gibeonites, they had records intact and they gave David their requirement. Let's pick up the conversation from verse 3 to verse 6. Let's look at their requirements. And David asked the Gibeonites, what shall I do for you? How shall I make atonement so that you will bless the Lord's inheritance? Now you can see that the famine was not ordinary famine. The famine was not ordinary famine. When the time came, what was done was activated. When the time came, what was done automatically kicked in. He didn't consult anybody. Why? Because in the realms of the spirit, they do not consult the natural to activate what has been agreed upon. When the time came, so that means whatever it was activated 3 years behind. David did not know. First year, he didn't know. He ignored. Second year, he ignored. By the third year, so that means 3 years has been wasted without him addressing the thorns, without him correcting the error. I don't know who you are. You have wasted years without correcting the error. I stand here today lifting up the rod of higher authority. May the Lord buy back time for you in the name of Jesus. I say, may the Lord buy back time for you in the name of Jesus. So 3 years passed by and David decided to inquire, and he went to them and he said, what should I do? Then the Gibeonites answered, more like, we've been waiting for you to come. We've been waiting for you to come. What took you so long to come? We have no right to demand silver or gold from Saul or his family, nor do we have the right to put anyone in Israel to death. What do you want me to do for you then? David asked. They answered the king, as for the man who destroyed us, plotted against us so that we have been decimated and have no place anywhere in Israel, let 7 of his male descendants be given to us to be killed and their bodies exposed before the Lord at Gibeah of Saul, the Lord's chosen. So the king said, I will give them to you. I will give them to you. I will give them to you. And God didn't interfere because it's an agreement. God did not interfere. He said, I will give them to you. So they said, we don't want anyone in Israel to die, but let the man who broke the covenant of our father, or the covenant our father had with your father Joshua, let him pay for what he has, for what has happened to us. They said, give us the man's children. Let them pay for the covenant their father broke. Give us the man's children. Hear me, friends. The reality of life. Hear me and hear me well. Hear me well. I repeat, hear me. The reality of life has no testamental limitations. The reality of life is not Old Testament, New Testament. No. It has no testamental limitations. The reality of life, whether it is Old or New Testament, they are the realities of life. That is the reality. Don't let any man, you know, compartmentalize, or what, how will you put it, put into compartments, you know, the realities of life. Say, well, it is Old Testament, New Testament. No. It has no testamental limitations. The realities of life. Joshua entered the covenant. Saul broke the covenant. But the sons of Saul paid dearly for the covenant their brothers broke. When you read further, two of Saul's sons and five of his grandsons were given to the Gibeonites, and they were slaughtered because of the covenant their father and their grandfather broke. Two sons, five grandchildren. Two sons, five grandsons. They can you imagine? And the grandsons were the sons of Saul's daughter. Can you imagine? You married, remember what I said yesterday, some of you are married into a thorny soil. You are married into family where there are thorns in the family, there are thorns in their soil. There, you are married to family where, you know, it is by the wayside soil. Can you imagine a man who knew nothing, all of a sudden he is losing five of his sons because of what his father-in-law did? He is paying the price, losing five of his sons for what his father-in-law did, that he had no clue on. They didn't enter into the covenant. They didn't break the covenant. But because they were of the seed of Saul, they died for free. Child of God, some things are dying in the life of people and they keep quiet. I stand here today. I lift up the rod of higher authority. Whatever is dying in your life, let the blood of Jesus terminate that appointment with death in the name of Jesus. So they were dying for what they didn't know anything about. Things are dying on your life because of the effects of a thorny soil called covenant that you need to be exempted from. You need to exempt yourself from it. Listen, friends, when you study the Bible very well, you will notice as soon as Saul tampered with the covenant Joshua had with the Gibeonites, as soon as he broke the hedge, the spirit of the covenant entered into him. Saul started misbehaving. All kinds of things started happening to Saul. He started misbehaving. The spirit of the covenant entered into him. From that day, there was nothing Saul was doing right. Nothing he was doing right. From that day, he came under the torment of spirits. When David wrote an eulogy about Saul in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 17 to 21. Let's read David's eulogy about Saul. And David lamented with his lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan, his friend. Also, he bade them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher, the beauty of Israel is slain upon the high places. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in the streets of Ashkelon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice. I pray for you. Ayina Marada, your enemies will not rejoice over you in the name of Jesus. Whatever will make your enemies rejoice over you, I terminate it by fire in the name of Jesus. He said, let not the daughters of Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fuse of offering. For there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. David lamented that, Saul, you died like one who was not anointed with oil. You died like one who had no anointing. This means there are certain errors. If you don't correct them, the oil on your head can be corrupted. He said, you died like one who had no oil on your head. You died like someone who had not been anointed. You died anyhow. Saul, you died anyhow. He began to lament so bitterly for Jonathan, his friend. He said, how is the mighty fallen? Jonathan, my friend, how is the mighty falling? You were not supposed to die, my friend. You were too innocent to die with your father. Oh, Jonathan, my friend, it was what killed your father that killed you, because you were ignorant. Friends, covenant killed Saul and then killed Jonathan. The same covenant crippled Mephibosheth. How does a small child fall, drop from a nanny's hands, and all of a sudden the child is crippled? When things begin to speak, little things is magnified, because hedges has been broken. That is why we receive the mercy of God every day. We receive the mercy of God, so that whatever it is that we are not in the know of, let the mercy of God secure and preserve us. Let the mercy of God speak loudest. When I ask you to declare the mercy of God over your life, I know what I'm talking about. Declare it. Let the mercy of God be the loudest voice over your life. Peradventure, there are voices that are speaking. So he said, you know, you died for what you knew not. Listen, friends, there are covenants you must intentionally sever yourself from. Because if you don't, the demands on it will still be speaking over you. Hear me? Satan is very disrespectful. I repeat, he is very disrespectful. He knows no boundaries. But Pastor, I'm now in Christ. Yes, you are now in Christ. Jesus finished it. Can you imagine how can you know, Pastor Bree mentioned yesterday in his teaching, how can Satan go and tempt a whole Jesus who is coming down from 40 days prayer and fasting? That's how disrespectful he is. He has no respect. That's how disrespectful the devil is. Jesus coming down from prayer and fasting 40 days. That was when he chose. How much more you? You say now you're in Christ. Yes, you're in Christ. But from time to time, he will come to disrespect you. He will come to question. That is why we do not keep quiet. We keep declaring. We keep announcing. We keep proclaiming. Because why? The more we speak, the more we subdue voices that are lifted against us. Give Jesus your praise this morning. Please give Jesus your praise tonight, Rod. Can you imagine? He even went as far as taking Jesus to the top of the mountain, demanding Jesus to worship him. He continued his disrespect. He continued until Jesus lifted his voice and addressed him. Listen, if you don't address the devil, he will keep disrespecting you. If you don't address him, he will keep disrespecting. The Bible said in Matthew 4 verse 10 to 11, get out of here, Satan. Get out of here. If Jesus had not said get out of here, he would have continued. He said, get out of here. That is what these 3 days is all about. We are to tell the devil, get out of here. We are to tell the errors, get out of here. We are to tell the agreements and vows, get out of here. He said, get out of here, Satan. For the scripture says, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only. Then the devil went away. If you don't send him away, he won't go away. So the Philistines captured, when you study scriptures, they captured the Ark of Covenant, placed it in the same room with their gods, and they finally get to discover that inasmuch as the Ark of Covenant was made with wools, there are wools that are not ordinary. Hear me, friends? Every time there is something in a family you can't touch, there is something you can't eat, there is a place you can't enter that has to do with customs, tradition. This is the custom of our family. It's an indication covenant is at work. There are some families where there are trees that can't be cut. I came from such place. There are trees you can't touch. There are things you can't touch. There are families where there is a room nobody can enter in the house. It is an indication, a covenant is at work. Hear me, friends. If you don't exempt yourself from the effects of the covenant, your destiny, as great as it is, it can be choked. Christianity is not an end in itself. It is a means to an end. You are supposed to take the divinity that salvation has given to you and deal with the limitations of your natural birth. If you don't deal with it, it will deal with you. Deal with it. Child of God, being born again is a change of soil. But of necessity, when you change your soul, you must take up the potency of your new birth and deal with the limitations and the thorns and the stony grounds, the wayside errors that exist in your family. Because if you don't intentionally do it, you will not become fully what you are supposed to be. Have you noticed there are things in your body that is not medical, it's not biological, they say it's genetics. Homes where, you know, there are homes, you know, a friend was sharing with me how, you know, men in their family, a pastor sharing with me, men in their family died recently. They die at a certain age. His grandfather died at that age. His father died at that age. So he was already preparing himself to die at that age. And all of a sudden, when he was nearing that age, they discovered that he had... Is he high blood pressure? He had high blood pressure. And yet, this person is very active. When I mean super active. Highly active. When I mean highly active. Highly active. This person is an athlete. And the doctor said to him that it has nothing to do with your lifestyle. It's just there. That was the first time I'm hearing. Medical science, you must help me out on it. That you can have high blood pressure when it has nothing to do with the way you eat or the way you're not active. It got to the age, whatever killed the grandfather, killed the father. Thank God he was in the know. He started enforcing redemption. When he arrived at that age, the thing was activated. But by the time the thing was activated, he was available, waiting for the thing. The best they could do was to fight high blood pressure. Even at in the midst of the high blood pressure, he still runs all kinds of things. And the blood pressure cannot pressure him. Give Jesus praise this morning, this evening. Imagine if he was not born again. Imagine if he was not born again. The very moment he got to that age, he would have gone like his grandfather. But thank God he was very observant. He noticed, no. Something is happening. My grandfather the same, my father. Now I'm at this age. All of a sudden, they say I have high blood pressure. Give the Lord your praise tonight. Many of you are under terrible circumstances, terrible covenants and agreements. But today I declare, under this anointing, that covenant is shattered in the name of Jesus. That error is corrected by fire in the name of Jesus. Hear this, friends. Covenants have no respect for geographical location. Understand that it is spirits behind, and spirits have no limits. Some of you, your frustration is because of errors that has not been corrected. Friends, you are a great seed. The soil should not determine your manifestation. Refuse the soil from determining your manifestation. When you left eternity into time, you were a great seed. The family you landed should not determine your manifestation. The coincidence of birth has brought you into that family. And listen, friends, you are there to correct that error you met. And I declare over you tonight, by the Spirit of the living God, you are free from that error in the name of Jesus. The error is corrected in the name of Jesus. There are some other people that they are dealing with the thorns of ancestral vows. They are dealing with thorns of ancestral vows. Ancestral vows, what are they? Ancestral vows are when someone in the place of authority makes a promise in exchange for help or assistance from a deity or from an altar. When they make a promise in an exchange for help, in an exchange for assistance. Let's start with the positive. We'll get to the negative, then we pray. When Hannah wanted a child, she went to an altar. She went to an altar. This time, she went to the altar of God and made pronouncements. Look at her pronouncements. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10 to 11. Look at her pronouncement. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly, as she prayed to the Lord. And she made this vow, O Lord of heaven's army, if you will look upon my sorrow, answer my prayers, give me a son, then I will give it back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime. And as a sign that he has been dedicated, can you see that? As a sign that he has been dedicated, the boy was already dedicated even before he became a biological formation. As a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut. She got pregnant and delivered Samuel. Now hear this, friends. Do you think if Samuel had wanted to be a doctor when he grew up, do you think that would have worked? If Samuel had wanted to be a lawyer, or Samuel had wanted to be a DJ, is his career. Black Coffee is one of the richest human beings on the earth. Owns private jets. He charges you 1 million to appear. 1 million rand to appear. That's some people's 10 years salary. Before tax. That's what the man collects for 1 hour. So you better put some respect to DJs. It's true. Owns a private jet. How many people who are working in government own a private jet? So imagine if he wanted to be a DJ. He saw the way Black Coffee is, or saw the way King Bash is, and say, I also want to be a DJ. Do you think it will have happened? Never. Because already, the mother has directed where he must go. So he will have tried in school and be failing. Because why? By the agreement, by ancestral vow, he cannot do any other thing other than to submit to the altar the mother handed him over to. So you will see the child studying and failing, and they say, what is wrong with this child? We send it to extra class. It doesn't extra. We send it to the finest school. It doesn't happen. Why? Because agreement has been made. Dedication has been made. And now he is trying to go in a wrong direction. The author is saying, no. The reason I gave your mother was because your mother was going to give you back to me. Now you are mine. So Samuel will have done everything in his life and will not have succeeded until he serves that altar. And the family is like that. Where grandmother, grandfather, great-great-grandmother, we're subscribing to witchcraft, ancestral worship, Inyanga worship. Now you see the child, somehow, confusion everywhere. That is why such a person, you plant yourself in God. Because now you are dealing with an agreement you knew nothing about. Hallelujah. Give the Lord your praise tonight. Hallelujah. He doesn't know that there is an atmosphere that has already hijacked him by pronouncement. I pray for you. Any atmosphere that has hijacked you by pronouncement, I deliver you in the name of Jesus. I release the blood of Jesus over you. I cancel the agreement. I cancel the hijack in the name of Jesus. Before the mother even became pregnant of him, she had already dedicated him to her God. Let's assume she was not serving the Almighty God. She had dedicated him to her God. Hear me, friends. And the mother said, the hair will not be cut. So imagine, the boy will have been growing up. They tell him, you will never cut your hair. You will never cut your hair. In the book of Judges 11, a judge in Israel named Jephthah made a vow that when he was going to war, he said, if you give me a clear victory over the Ammonites, When whatever comes out of the door of my house to meet me, when I return in triumph, that thing will be the Lord's, and I will offer it up as a burnt offering. Can you imagine that? He won the battle, and guess what? His only daughter, who was a virgin, was the first person who came out to greet him. Ancestral vow collected the life of this girl. This girl probably had plans, had dreams. She probably had to imagine how her wedding would look like because the father was doing well. She probably had to imagine the kind of man she wants to marry. He probably had to imagine what kind of thing she wants to become. But because her father vowed to give any first greeter to his God that gave him victory, what vows that the vows that he made affected the destiny of this child. Friends, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you are free indeed. But you must enforce that freedom. Give Jesus praise tonight. And I declare over you tonight, you are free indeed in the name of Jesus. I say you are free indeed in the name of Jesus. I pray for you, every ancestral vow hanging over your life, I decree and I declare, Holy Ghost fire in the name of Jesus. I say Holy Ghost fire in the name of Jesus. Every ancestral vow hanging over your life, every ancestral vow putting a demand on your destiny, when I declare Holy Ghost, you will thunder fire. Holy Ghost! Holy Ghost! Holy Ghost! You're a great seed. Listen, friends, that is why when anyone looks at you and make conclusions on your life, they are making the greatest mistakes of their lifetime. You have not even started manifesting yet. And after today, by this communion, where they say you can't get to, I prophesy, you will exceed it in the name of Jesus. You will exceed the boundary in the name of Jesus. What they have said you will never have, I prophesy tonight, you will own it in abundance in the name of Jesus. What they say you cannot build, I prophesy, you will build it in abundance in the name of Jesus. What they have said you cannot become, by the better speakings of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the mercy of God, you will become 1,000 times in the name of Jesus. I say become 1,000 times in the name of Jesus. Where sickness killed others, I announce you are exempted in the name of Jesus. You are exempted in the name of Jesus. Whatever God has for you, I declare tonight, they will manifest in the name of Jesus. Your life will show forth in the name of Jesus. You will become in the name of Jesus. Every pattern in your bloodline, I declare tonight, by the blood of Jesus, the pattern is erased in the name of Jesus. Pattern be erased in the name of Jesus. I say pattern be erased in the name of Jesus. Every satanic gatekeeper that is working tirelessly to enforce pattern on your life, on your children, on your household, on your family, I declare tonight, Holy Ghost. I declare tonight, Holy Ghost. I declare tonight, Holy Ghost. Give the Lord your praise tonight. Christianity is an equipment for war. You're already equipped for war. Your status is, you are a victor already. Your status as a victor is already confirmed, even before the battle begins. Child of God, there is fight raging. There is a fight going on. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 5, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity. You are the one to bring it into captivity. You are the one to bring it into captivity. If you don't bring it into captivity, it will continue to mess around. You bring into captivity. Hayina Marada. You bring into captivity. You are the one to bring it into captivity. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to yourself. That's why you see certain people under. Wait. There are sometimes I look at certain people. I clearly say no. Something is not right here. You see a young man. He has no hunger for anything. The spirit of uselessity has enveloped him. Something is not right. There are voices. He can't hold anything together. The pen everybody is selling, the day he buys his own to sell, they will say pen is out of market. It's no longer Invoke. Has no hunger for anything. Nothing is driving him. 40 years, nothing is driving him. 45, nothing is. He is not nearing 50 years. Nothing is driving him. And you tell me it's normal, my friends. You tell me it's normal. It can't be normal. Because in the inside of every human being is a drive. When someone has no drive, there are voices. Hallelujah. There are voices. There are voices. Errors. And listen, friends, don't let any theological confusion manipulate you. We'll be dealing with the Gibeonites tomorrow and dealing with all of that. The only person that was set free from all of that agreement was Mephibosheth. And the Bible said in that scripture where we read, David decided to spear him. And why did he do that? Can I tell you why? He already had an agreement with Jonathan. If he had not spared him, he would have activated something in his own family. It wasn't because he was a lover of Mephibosheth. Even the Bible, put it on the screen. Put it on the screen, please. Put that scripture on the screen. Even the Bible said it. Even the Bible tells us that. He spared him because of the agreement he had, the covenant he had entered with Jonathan. Second Samuel. Thank you. The king spared Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth, who was Saul's grandson. He said, the king spared Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth. Can you see it? Who was Saul's grandson? Because of the oath David and Jonathan had sworn before the Lord. He knew if he had not kept that boy, he would have provoked something in his own life that generations would have been cleaning up. But he said, no. Inasmuch as I want to help the Gibeonites, I must also preserve my own family. He said, I can tell you now, if they didn't have seven boys, he would have located one of Saul's daughters and said, look, you must get pregnant now and deliver now. Because as for Mephibosheth, he goes nowhere. Probably would have even told the Gibeonites, can I pay you instrumental? Give Jesus praise. Let's rise on our feet as we pray.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you are blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Mogocha. Till next time, God bless.